What's going on, everybody? You're listening to a new episode of the Postgame Report. I am your host, JVB. So the nominations have been revealed for Jeff Keighley's Video Game Award show. Starfield is not one of the nominees. So a lot of people have been making jokes, and rightfully so. The reason why I say that is because just like most things with Xbox, it was so overhyped. It was being put in this category of game of the generation. So what was people expecting when the game of the generation was not nominated for Video Game Award? Now, this necessarily doesn't mean jack shit, right? Jeff Keighley's award show really doesn't mean anything in the big picture. There are several video game awards. This is not the end all be all, but it is the most popular video game award show. So, in the most popular show, where there's going to be new trailers revealed, possibly some, you know, breaking news about a particular video game, you want your biggest and most hyped up video game to be there, and that is Starfield for the Xbox. Now, to be fair, Starfield was slated to come out as a multi-platform game. Microsoft bought Bethesda, so it is their IP. And because it's theirs, their rabid fan base decided, and the media, let's not forget about those motherfuckers, they decided that they were going to hype the shit out of Starfield because it was made by Bethesda, it is backed by Microsoft, and therefore, Microsoft and its Xbox division finally had this game that was going to rival anything ever made. And lo and behold, that is not the case. Does that make Starfield a bad game? Absolutely not. I never played it. I don't plan to play it. It is not my kind of game. I've tried Bethesda games, particularly I did like the first Oblivion, but all of the Fallout games, after a while, I got bored of them. So it's not my kind of game. And I don't own an Xbox Series. I refuse to buy one. After what they did with Halo Infinite, which was the only reason why I would consider an Xbox, they didn't convince me with Halo Infinite. So I still got to wait for that definitive title to convince me to buy an Xbox Series. And who knows when that's going to come out. It's certainly not the new Call of Duty. That is like the lowest rated Call of Duty that I can remember. I don't even know what the hell it's called. It came out a few weeks ago. It is reviewed poorly. There's not a good reception amongst the people on my Twitter feed. And it's a really big disappointment. For as much shit as people talk about Call of Duty every year, people still buy it. And even myself, I've bought the last two Call of Duty games. And I grew tired of the last one. I had fun with it for a while. And then after a while, you kind of get tired of just doing the same shit. Plus, because of my brain injury, there were times when I did play it, I would have I would have mental fatigue and headaches for days afterwards. So it wasn't worth literally the headaches. And in this new Call of Duty, I mean, people are talking really negatively about it. And once again, it's available on all platforms. So it's not just because Microsoft finally purchased Activision. So it's not because of that. So people are saying, yeah, everything Xbox touches, it becomes garbage. This is just one of those coincidences, you know, when it comes to Call of Duty and the fact that Microsoft now owns Activision and Call of Duty. So it's just a coincidence. But it is funny when the biggest game of the generation, aka Starfield, is nowhere to be found in the award show, in the most popular award show. And kudos to the Fanatics who, you know, continue to embarrass themselves, and they never learn. And the reason why they never learn is because that is the only way they stay relevant. You hype something up, you get all these people coming to you because they want to feel the same way. They want to hype it up. They feel like, hey, Xbox, we're number one. Here is our savior in Starfield. Hip, hip, hooray. And then when it doesn't work out, because they themselves did the damage. They're the ones who did the damage. They put this game up in a freaking category that very few games are capable of achieving, and that is game of the generation. You had very little information. All the previews that we saw, there was nothing that said game of the generation. Todd Howard and Phil Spencer, they did a good job of overhyping this shit. But that is their job. It is not your job as a content creator to be overhyping a game that you know little about. And a lot of times it's people who have years of experience on YouTube, on podcasting. They're in their 40s, some even in their early 50s like myself. Overhyping shit that, based on what's been shown, doesn't match the hype. And when you call it out, people are already saying, oh my God, you're so negative. You're blind. Or they use the big word, cope, right? You're salty. All of these weird words, right? That have nothing to do with an obvious observation. All of the previews for Starfield did not look good. So when I see people hyping up Starfield, I need to ask, all right, what are you seeing that I haven't? Because if we're seeing the same previews, then I guess we have different tastes in video games, because I'm not seeing what hype you're generating. I don't see it. And when somebody says that, that's a fair assessment. That's not me trying to troll anybody. That's me asking a legitimate question. Where is the excitement, and where can I see it? Because I'm not seeing it right now. So maybe you saw something I didn't. It's as if, you know, they treat us like we're stupid and we're supposed to accept that, you know? I've been playing video games since I was 7 years old. Actually, yeah, 7 years old. 1979, I was playing Asteroids in the arcade. Well, in a bodega. So, I have vast knowledge about video games. What makes a good video game? I have vast knowledge because I have decades of experience. I'm not one of these motherfuckers who decided, oh my God, look at this guy on YouTube. He has super chats. He's talking bad about PlayStation, great about Xbox. I'm going to do the same thing. Even though the games he's talking about, I never fucking played them. But I'm going to pretend that I did. So when I say it's good that the extremists on the Xbox side who hyped up Starfield got a little sense of reality. They got a little smack in the ass from reality. And it's not the first time. And it's not going to be the last. And that's unfortunate. Because had people were realistic and grounded and they gave honest feedback about Starfield, people wouldn't have ragged it for being an 83 or an 84, whatever it is. Because that is a really good fucking review score. That's a good average. That's like a B or whatever. I could be wrong. Or B plus. Regardless, if you had a term paper and you got a B plus or whatever, you'd be happy as shit. So the fact that the game scores over an 80 as an average, there's nothing wrong with that. But that wasn't enough for these freaking psychotics. They were complaining that there's media bias. That Starfield deserved way more than a fucking 83 or 84. Let's say it's an 84. Let's say on Metacritic it's sitting at 84. So people assume that it deserved at least 10 more points on average. Why? There were a shitload of bugs. The planets, from what I heard, not all of them were occupied, and so on and so on. The PlayStation had a game that was killed for its bugs. It was called Days Gone. As a matter of fact, some media outlets didn't like the protagonist because he was too macho. They didn't like that. And it was weird that it was females saying this in the reviews. One female at IGN had an issue with the protagonist because he called his wife babe or something like that. So when you talk about unfair reviews, look at the full spectrum, because there's a lot of games that catch shit. Look at Hogwarts. You know, the game was reviewed, certain outlets were reviewing it poorly because of the creator of the books and what she had to say and what her stance against certain sexual preferences. That had nothing to do with the developers, nothing to do with the game. But they took it out on the developers and the games. The game, not games. So there's this weird fixation with, you know, this Xbox tax. I don't know what the fuck it means, but I'm assuming that there's a there's an Xbox tax, because if the name is on it, then it has to mean that it's gonna review poorly or whatever. I don't know if that's what it is, but when you see Starfield with all its issues, and then you see Redfall with all the issues, and then you see a game getting poor reviews because the author of the book that it's based on didn't have the same political views as the reviewer. So where is the unfairness, right? The attention should be put on that, then put on your console war and trying to make excuses for a game that's still reviewed well, despite having issues. When other games were hammered because they had issues, technical issues that eventually were ironed out through patches. But they were a main ingredient in the review scores. But somehow everybody's supposed to forget that when it comes to Starfield, because it's an Xbox title. And it was supposed to be game of the generation. But because it isn't, now there's media bias. Now there's this Xbox tax thing. All kinds of shit. I've always said that the people who make the content around Xbox. And you can't make pro Xbox content without making anti-PlayStation content. So let me make that clear. You need to do both. Because if you simply showcase games that you like on Xbox and you show your gameplay, that is not going to get you shit. You need to also be anti-PlayStation at the same time. And then you'll get an audience. So let's not forget that. Now, it works the other way too. There's pro PlayStation channels who have to bash Xbox. And that also generates views. So it goes both ways. So, yeah, you have these content creators. Instead of writing for Xbox and writing stories for games, because these people are fucking creative when it comes to their bullshit, when it comes to coming up, creating agendas, creating narratives, and simply coming up with these weird ass rumors, these motherfuckers are creative. And I don't know why they're not freaking writing for Xbox Studios. They would write kick-ass fucking imaginary tales because they do it all the fucking time. Hire these people. Hire them. They come up with some incredible shit. So, yeah, it's just pretty amusing. And congratulations, Starfield. And I'm teasing, of course. You know, I can give a shit. You know, I don't care who wins the freaking award show. It doesn't affect me at all. Spider-Man 2 is in there. It's an incredible game. That would be my game of the year. And that's that. I paid for the game. I have the right to say if I consider it my game of the year. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be everybody else's game of the year. And if it doesn't win a fucking award show that is filled with ads and is designed to basically have a winner for each company. I mean, when you have content creator of the year and you never heard of these motherfuckers, you know what this thing is about. It's more about the revenue that is generated through ads than a genuine award show. Not to say that Keeley doesn't necessarily trying to find the word. It's not that Jeff Keighley doesn't genuinely love what he's doing. I believe he does. But his award show is just filled with ads, unnecessary ads. And then, and of course, you don't have a freaking network to back you. So, of course, he has to find a way to fund this. So you have that. And then you have all these, you know, when Fortnite wins Game of the Year, come on. I mean, come on. But anyway, at least there's something. For me, growing up, playing video games since 1979, to see award shows centered around video games, it's still amazing to me. So I still watch them. Even if they're bad, I still watch them because this is something that I grew up with, which is video games. And I always wished there was more content. Well, at one point, there was never any content unless it was a commercial about a video game system. But to have a TV show dedicated to an award, an award show dedicated to video games, that was never heard of when I was growing up. So I'm enjoying all of this shit. Now, speaking of things that I would have loved as a kid, the PlayStation Portal. It has been officially released. I don't own one. I decided I wasn't going to buy one. I'm home a lot. So when I do want to play my video games, you know, we have three TVs in the house. The main gaming television is in my room. And unfortunately, since being injured, I don't really go out a lot because I can't, right? You know, too much noise, too many people. It's just not a comfortable experience. So my wife and I, we watch a lot of TV. If we're not traveling, we're watching TV or I'm playing something. So if I wanted to do remote play, I have an iPad Pro. I've had remote play. I've used remote play while my wife was watching something or we were both watching something, but I wanted to finish up on a game, do some chores in a game. And I even went like 100 miles away from home one time, and I connected to my PlayStation 5 and played Madden on my iPad Pro. So I can play on a better screen on the iPad Pro, which is the mini LEDs. And not only is it a better screen, you know, it has deeper blacks, richer colors because the Portal has an LCD. But it's a bigger screen. So I can use my DualSense controller and just play away as long as my connection holds up. The Portal, from what I've heard, the lag is really good. The gaming on the Portal seems to be responsive. And of course, there's going to be some latency, but people have been saying that the latency is really minimal. And so it seems like a device that I could use, right? When we're watching a show that my wife and I don't necessarily find interesting, but I have a tendency, I'm sure a lot of people do, you start watching a TV series or something on Netflix or whatever, you watch half a season, then you start realizing, you know what, this is starting to get boring. But because you're almost done with the season, you're like, all right, let's just watch this shit so we could at least know what the outcome is, because we did invest time in watching it. So we might as well just keep going. And then that's when you start watching this show, but you're on your phone browsing fucking, you know, Amazon for something to buy, or you're trolling people on your social feeds, right? So that's a time I could be on my PlayStation Portable, or when I'm laying down in bed and I don't want to freaking disturb my wife as she's sleeping, I could use the Portable. People are enjoying this thing. And that's the bottom line, right? If people are enjoying it, those who bought it, it is $200. And it has all the features of a DualSense controller. People are saying the battery life is pretty good, about 8-9 hours. And the bottom line is that people who own it are enjoying it. Now, there's this narrative, of course, that can't be something good without a bunch of people having issues with something. And the issue with people, you have people like saying, oh, you can't convince me why you need this trash, right? It can't be, somebody can't just simply say, hey, guys, what's the main reason that you own a PlayStation Portable? No, they got to say, oh, you can't convince me that you need this trash and blah, blah, blah. Or people say, oh, my God, you know, before it was xCloud. Now you guys are okay with playing on the Portable. xCloud is a totally different service, number one. And just like everything else with pro Xbox people, they were posting photos of themselves at a beach or fishing and hyping up xCloud, saying, oh my God, I'm on vacation, I'm at the beach, and I'm playing xCloud, and it works perfect. Meanwhile, when you look at the picture they posted, there's this weird freaking issue with the resolution or the aspect ratio, not resolution, the aspect ratio. It didn't fill the screen. And then a lot of these people that were posting these photos, you later found out that they were sent Samsung phones because all of them were posting from a fucking Android. Then you found out that they got these Android phones sent to them so they can fucking use xCloud. So instead of these people being honest, a lot of them were trying to be deceiving, trying to hype up something that any person with fucking common knowledge would know that is not perfect. But these people were telling you, oh my God, it works amazingly well. I could play it anywhere in the world. It's perfect. No, it's not. And you know what? That's okay because the shit is streaming from the fucking cloud, so anything could happen. Even when you have dedicated phone service on your mobile phone, sometimes your mobile data will freaking start acting up for no freaking reason. So the big thing is, oh my God, you guys are hypocrites. You guys are enjoying Portal, but you guys are criticizing xCloud. No, they have nothing to do with one another. Number one, the PlayStation 3 had remote play. Before there was xCloud, before there was fucking Game Pass, you had PlayStation Now, which was first to do all the rental service shit on home console, right? The Oyo was out doing that too before the PlayStation. When it came to remote play, PlayStation was doing it first. Now xCloud is different. It's different than remote play. So the two have nothing to do with each other. So of course you're going to have, for every person who is happy and satisfied with the PlayStation Portal, you're going to have three or four people coming at them with this bullshit. Creating narratives where they don't exist. The same thing happened with PlayStation VR. I don't own a VR, the VR 2. And so far, everybody I've seen with a PlayStation VR, everybody freaking loves it. But there are those who swear that these people do not like it. And it's the funniest shit, trying to convince people who honestly say they like something, you're trying to convince them why they shouldn't like it. And it's the funniest thing to watch. Now, it doesn't just stay within social media. It's also on YouTube and all this stuff. You know, I talked about the weird narrative with Spider-Man 2, people using the word woke incorrectly, talking about a fucking video game. And I'm like, man, these people just need something negative to say about it. Everything, and they will find the littlest thing, whether it's true or not, to use as their base. And that negativity will just continue until that particular topic or item, whatever, is no longer relevant. And then they go and move on to the next thing. And, you know, unfortunately, that is very, very common in the video game community. It is just, it has taken over everything a lot of us have built. And I'm talking about podcasting. You know, there was a time in PGR on this podcast that we used to talk about the games we played. As a matter of fact, you know, like 2007 and, you know, 2006, 2007, a lot of podcasts would open up with what you've been playing this week or what games are you playing, you know, or somebody would review a game they just finished, something like that, right? We always kept it about the video games. We always talked about the community nights we had playing with other people from different podcasts, playing against different forums. We kept each other involved. It was about that unity. You had freaking other hosts join different podcasts, because our main goal was to meet as many, and I hate using this fucking word because people have fucked up the word, I'm going to say it, gamers. We wanted to meet as many as possible, because here was a platform, and I'm talking about podcasting, that was so brand new, but it was bringing people together. And that's where Xbox Live came into play. It was the first to bring, it was the first console to bring peer-to-peer video games or peer-to-peer gaming in a big scale. You had the Sega Dreamcast, right? I used to play freaking NFL 2K against people online. But I'm talking about fucking playing Halo 2 against people from the other side of the world. And it worked flawlessly. That was Xbox Live. That was very integral in bringing a lot of communities together. Because before the PlayStation 3 came out with its PlayStation Network, Xbox Live was the one doing it. And so all of us were using it. And it was a great fucking time, because podcasters get together. We try to brainstorm as to how we can make our communities better, how we can bring our communities together to freaking create charities or simply build like huge game nights. And this was so that people can have something to talk about. People can meet up in different events and build friendships. That's mainly what it comes down to. Not in today's community. Today is all about fucking being heard, because you're the loudest one and you want to be right no matter what. You want to be the one that says, "I told you." And that's all you give a fuck about. Building a community, building some kind of legitimacy to the gaming community. Today's community, you know, today's content creator, I'm not going to say community because there isn't. Today's content creator, centered around video games and to a point, even around the New York Giants, they care more about being right, whether it's the PlayStation sucks, or the Xbox sucks, or this game sucks, or that game sucks, or this person is fake, that person doesn't really play. That's all people give a fuck about nowadays. And, you know, as someone who saw the peak of this video game community and what it really was about, and the reason why I bring this up, the community aspect, is because a friend of mine passed away a few days ago who I met through video games. He called himself Frost. And it was, you know, Chris was someone I would see at different gaming events. And then through Facebook, we would keep in touch. And every once in a while, he would comment on one of my tweets or whatever, and he would bring up stuff from the past, and we have a good laugh. And when I saw that he passed, and my friend Oopy was the one who brought it up, I was like, nah. Even my wife, she saw it when I got the message, and she goes, "Babe, we know that guy." And I'm like, man, it looks like Frost. But it can't be Frost. And then, because of my brain injury, it didn't freaking click. And then I had to go to his profile, and I'm like, holy shit, it's fucking Frost. And it's unfortunate, you know, it's an unfortunate part of life. I lost Valkyrie, who was a friend of mine, through video games, through Xbox Live. David, he committed suicide. I met him at a Crackdown event. they sent us, a bunch of podcasters, to preview Crackdown at the Microsoft campus. He and I were roommates. I met his father. And we kept in touch after that. We even had this huge fucking Halo battle between Podtacular and his website, because they were pretty good in Halo too. And he did this whole montage of a video. He did a video montage. We wound up winning. And, you know, he showed my last kill. My last kill was the winning freaking kill. And, you know, a few years later, he freaking died. And then we had my friend Chastity, a.k.a. New York Riquenia. She died. And now fucking Frost, man. Chris Sheffield. So, unfortunately, because I've been in this since 2005, you know, the unfortunate reality is that you're going to see some of these people, you know, pass away. So, I'm very fortunate that I was able to have these experiences with Valkyrie, with Chastity, with Chris, with David. You know, we were at real life events talking about the love of the video game industry, the video game community, talking about the games we just previewed, hanging out, sharing our past in our video game experiences. Because that was the beauty of all this. No matter where you were from, because you and I liked video games, our conversations were easy. Because all we had to do was share our experience. Even if we played the same games, our experiences were different. And so that was the ultimate icebreaker. So when you had the opportunity to build these relationships, of course, someone like me, who has seen this gaming community develop, who has seen the content creator surrounding video games, I've seen, and, you know, some people like to say I'm one of the pioneers. I was there at the very beginning, being one of those content creators talking about video games, looking like a fucking weirdo because people were like, what? You're talking about Donkey Kong? I used to get those reactions at work because I worked in a very freaking macho industry, right? Elevator technician. So you had all these freaking assholes who were racist motherfuckers, who were very arrogant, and we would talk, and I'd say, yeah, I do this thing called podcasting, and, you know, I had to explain what a podcast was, and then they go, oh, man, what are you talking about? And I tell them video games. They're like, what? You playing Donkey Kong? And I'm like, yeah, I talk about fucking Donkey Kong, too, and all kind of other video games. And they look at me like I was fucking stupid. So that's not like the most trying times of my life, but it was annoying as fuck to have to deal with someone looking at me dumb because I wanted to punch him in the face. But I'm like, you know what? They don't know, and they're too arrogant and too close-minded to understand what I'm doing here. So I let it slide. I just hit my microphone, sorry. But it was annoying. It was an annoying time. And now, podcast is part of the fucking dictionary. And everybody has a fucking podcast. And I would like to say that the gaming community was very instrumental in making podcasting viable, legit. Because there were more video game podcasts because there was so much to talk about. Now you have all these fucking murder mysteries and all this stuff. You have podcasts for everything. But I would like to say that the community that I was part of, we were there in the beginning, making the video game community a legit asset for all of these publishers, all of these game developers, and making the platform of podcasting a legit platform for people to share their stories with everyone around the world. And then you fast forward to today and you see the trash that we have to deal with and the trash that is out there creating content demanding that you give them super chats in order to even answer a fucking chat question. It's like, who the fuck are you? But then again, they only go as far as the audience takes them. And if the audience is responsible for giving them that confidence, giving them that ability to use super chats, then you can only blame the audience. You can't really blame the content creator who is, hey, taking advantage of a system that is, they're not doing anything wrong. So, you know, it works both ways. There's a problem with the content creator and the content viewer. And it's not me. So anyway, there's a lot of noise going on outside. It's distracting me. And I'm starting to wear out mentally. For those that don't know, I do have a brain injury and it gives me mental fatigue and all this good stuff. But yeah, if you have the PlayStation Portal, let me know what you think. As a matter of fact, I say PlayStation Portal. I think I might have said portable a few times. I don't know. But anyway, let me know what you think. I'm curious. Maybe down the line I might purchase one. We'll see. So anyway, I'm JVB. You guys take care. Talk to you later.